نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وسراجا منيرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها وليضربن بخمرهن على جيوبهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا لبعولتهن أو آبائهن أو آباء بعولتهن أو أبنائهن أو أبناء بعولتهن أو إخوانهن أو بني إخوانهن أو بني أخواتهن أو نسائهن أو ما ملكت أيمانهن أو التابعين غير أولي الإربة من الرجال أو الطفل الذين لم يظهروا على عورات النساء وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من يضمن لي ما بين لحييه وما بين رجليه أضمن له جنة أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Before we move any further, first and foremost, it's important that we send salutation upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. ربنا زدنا علما نافعا وعملا صالحا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتم بالخير وبك نستغيث. Respected brothers and respected elders and dear friends, we are sitting here once again with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best places on face of earth, and for that reason we say Alhamdulillah. And with the intention of nafal i'tikaf and with the intention of waiting for the salah, inshallahul aziz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase our thawab, our means of attainment, both for akhirah and in this world too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna ja'alna ma 'ala al-ardi zinatan laha لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Verily we have created or we made everything on earth, or everything that we have created on earth, an adornment to see which one of them are in terms of the أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Who does the best a'mal, who does the best action, who is the most tabi' of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who follows His orders, who listens to His orders. So everything that we are faced in this world is a means of test. This world itself is test. It's an examination hall. This is where we are being tested and trialed. And we learn in many ahadith and many Quran ayats, every step that we take, depending on our actions, it becomes a means of thawab. Whether it's hardship that we face, it becomes a means of sawab. Whether it's that we have surur, the happiness moment, it becomes a means of sawab. Whether we are sleeping, it can become a means of sawab. Whether you are going to the toilet and the bathroom and to relieve our bowels and so forth, it can become a means of sawab. Every action a mu'min, a believer can turn into a means of sawab. But on the other hand, even being in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also be a means and wasila towards doing guna. Also can be doing guna. And to give you an example of that is sometimes you see brothers sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the mobile phone watching movies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from such activities. Watching news, which news may be a good thing to be aware of what's going on. In the Quran says, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ انْذُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Travel the world and you will know. You will have akhbar, you'll have news and so forth. But these days we don't need to. We are in a small community, yet global community. It's all encircled, it's all together. So even then we are able to receive news on a mobile phone like that. In fact, I use this mobile phone to recite an ayah to you. Safeguard, it saved me from writing it down on a piece of paper. The point that I'm trying to make is even by here watching a news, watching a ghair mahram, those who we were not allowed to see, can lead to gunas and so forth. So we need to be extremely careful. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسِ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ وَحُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. The love for this world is the source of all errors. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one hand saying, everything here in this world is a means of test, is a means of examination, is a means of trial, is a means of test. You see, which one of you will do the best a'mal, which one of you will do the most taqwa, who will action the taqwa, being fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, refrain himself from doing bad and evil. On the other hand, Allah is also automatically letting us know, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. Is a source of all evils. And within that source of all evils, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another ayah, زُيِّنَ بَعْدَ عُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ and so forth in Surah Ali Imran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it has been adorned for you, beautified for you, the love of زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهْوَةِ. The love for women. Love for the opposite gender. Love for the opposite sex. Love for the other opposite creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's already there. Quran is already there. It's already letting us know. But there's a debate, isn't there? Can the ladies become our friends? And can the men become the ladies' friends? Yes, my heart is clean, my heart is pure. I have nothing in my eyes. I don't see evil, I don't hear evil, I don't smell evil. Everything is fine. But Quran is saying what? زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهْوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبَ. So my brothers, my respected elders, this is the topic that I would like to discuss a bit further today, because unfortunately we live in an era where the influences upon us is greater by the society than by the parents. No one will say, yet we read the hadith, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا يُؤْلَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّذَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَاصِرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. That every child is born on innate fitra, and what will happen is, every child is born on fitra, and what that basically means, the parents then turn the child into yunasirani, either a Christian or yuhawidani, a Yahudi, a Jew, or a yumajisani, or a Magian, a fire worshipper. Then the hadith and muhaddithin further explain that this hadith literally basically means it's the environment that we are engrossed in. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was saying in his era, therefore we live in an era, he was worried about the era he was living in. He was saying that our youngsters, our people are significantly influenced by the people, by the society. What would he say if he were to witness today's society? Now sometimes you have to drive blindly. Whatever you see, wherever you walk, what do you see? You see things that you're not supposed to see. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard every single one of us. So my brothers, my respected elders, the point that I'm trying to make, the society that we live in is so dangerous, the influences are so much that we are, whether we are watching any program, whether we are watching a documentary, educational program, whether we are doing istiraha, whether we're taking a rest, or whether we are chilling, as they say, and watching a movie, everything will have some form of nudity in it. it will have some form of ghair mahram in it. I'm very conscious none of our sisters and mothers are on TVs and movies. But so none of our aunties are on movies and TVs and newspapers and so forth and on news articles and news programs. So every single thing that we see around us, every single ladies that we see around us, and for our sisters, every single brothers that we see around us, we have to be extremely careful. And we, the Quran says, what does the Quran say? The ayat that I prayed earlier is asking the believing men and the believing women to lower their heads, to lower their gaze. Because the Quran is clear. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ شَهْوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْخَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ مُسَوَّمَةِ. The ulama is also telling us that while these have been beautified, this is also the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are also the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If used accordingly, and out of the blessing, the most difficult, out of the blessing, it can also become the most tested blessing also. And the most tested means is through fitna of the opposite gender, which is the women. So my brothers, my respected elders, wherever we go, wherever we are, whether we're in the house, whether we're in the shop, whether we're in the shopping, whether we're in driving, whether sometime to hattaki, whether we're in the masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometime during janazah, what do you see? You see brothers and sisters hugging each other. You see nieces and nephews, you see brothers and sisters doing tasalli and, you know, consoling someone. And you wonder whether they are the family members or non-family members. Whether they are family members or non-family members, you are not allowed to do such harakat in public. Because it can give wrong impression. And if they are not your family members, then it's completely haram. It's not allowed. Because the ayah that I prayed earlier, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. This topic of engagement with the opposite gender is so important. It brings so much importance in the life of a Muslim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicated a complete surah, giving example of Surah Yusuf and how Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, how he dealt with attempted seduction by a lady. Who was Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? Yes, he was a prophet, but in the early days, what was he? He was an orphan child. If you can call it orphan, or a child that was abandoned by the brothers in a well, left to die. Then from there, he was sold into slavery. And slaves had only one value, and that was to do khidmat for the people, free of charge. You are a goods, just like a cloth, just like a car. Once you no longer want it, you can either scrap it, abandon it, throw it, donate it, or sell it. Just like that, that was the value of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was taken in by the Aziz, Mr. Aziz, what happened? He was treated like their own family member. You know, we have a saying now, yeah, but he's my cousin, he's my auntie, he's my uncle. He's like a sister to me, or she's like a sister to me, he's like a brother to me. So it's okay. But if you look into the life story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, what happened? When Zulaykha tried to entice him into doing an action, he ran towards safety. As he was running towards safety, he met the Aziz, the king or the governor of that place, and the door flung open. And our ulama says, when you run away from the sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguards you from sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you from sin. But you must make the intention and your due effort to run away. Not opportunity is there. Windows are closed. Doors are closed. Nobody will know. If I participate, I'm going to have a relation with the most powerful lady in the era, in the community, in the area. He's nobody. He's a slave. And she's the queen. And he can have access to anything that he wanted. And what did he do? He ran towards the door and the door flung open. So Aziz, knowing the situation, he knew, and the Quran makes it clear. What happened was he let it go. Then the rumor spread around the society. Did you know so-and-so? The Aziza is Aziza is in love with the slave boy. Subhanallah. The entire town, the entire city is talking about it. Great shame was brought in. Great shame was attached to the whole incident. So what did she do? She goes, how do I defuse the whole situation? So she invited all the Sahelis and all her friends and her colleagues and the community ladies. And she invited all the ladies to come and participate in a banquet. So when the banquet took place, she gave everybody an apple and a knife. Apples and knife. Then she said to Yusuf, come forth. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So when he came, the ladies could not believe the eyes. The beauty that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had, half of the beauty of the world, that they started to cut their hands and fingers. An anesthetic, general anesthetic, or is it local anesthetic? Something they've never encountered before in their lifetime. And the ladies were encouraging Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to participate in immoral activity with Zulaika. And Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya qala, the sijin, as-sijnu ahabbu ilayya. The jail is more beloved to me than what they are calling me towards. Than what they are calling me towards. Today, my brothers, my respected elders, the temptations that we are facing daily in front of us, the relationship that can be built in universities, in workplaces, we are working in close proximity to people for hours and hours, 6 hours a day, 40 hours a week. That's just the actual work times. Then the break times and other times. The jobs and the profession that we have, the taxi jobs that we have, delivery jobs that we have, and other association, the apps that we have, the access to social media that we have. Running towards or participating in bihayayi activities, in forming haram relationship. It's so easy, yet being married is so difficult. You can easily form relationship on mobile phones, on social media, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, and all the different things. Universities, you spend hours and hours. We deal with cases where they went to university, they glance at each other, then they start talking, they become project partners. After project partners, what happens? Then suddenly, out of blue, a boy baby is born, or baby she's pregnant. What do we do now? That's when they need the imam. So until then, it was all halal. So what do I do now? Imam Sahib, please help us out. Until then, it was all okay. How do I deal with my parents? What do I say to my parents? What do I say to my brothers? What do I say to my sisters? When my bomb comes out, how will the community react to this? But until then, when the shahwa took place, when we did not heed to the ayat of Quran, when it was, no, she was my friend, she's my best sister, she's my best friend, or he's my best friend, we are brothers, we are like brothers. Yet the Quran says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ
حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ.
There is no such thing as friendship with غير محرم. There is no such thing as friendship with غير محرم. Hazrat Ashwali Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, being in the same room with a nabalik child is not jais for you either. Because the third person is who? The shaitan. And shaitan will play with your weakness in your heart. Shaitan will play with your weakness in the between the two jaws. Between the jaws. And will play with the weaknesses between the hips. I.e. the faraj, i.e. the private parts. النَّظْرُ صَحْنُ مِنْ سِهَامِ الْإِبْلِيسِ.
The nazar, the eyesight, is an arrow from the arrows of the shaitan, the iblis.
The first time you glance at someone, what does it do?
Accidentally? No problem.
Intentionally? Problem. Immediately move away? perfectly fine.
Accidental look.
Once you look again, that's when the guna starts. And when the guna starts, it stains the heart. And when the heart has been stained, and you've heard, I'm sure you've heard this saying before, what does Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi complain about his memory skills and his power of his memory?
And he was losing it. And his famous teacher was saying, let go of the gunas.
When looking at the wrong things, it impacts everything from your heart to your memory to your a'mal to your actions to everything that we do on a daily basis.
Yet when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was promised the entire world, the Aziza,
what did he do? As-sijnu ahabbu ilayya. This jail is more beloved to me than what they are calling me towards. So my brothers, my respected elders, I was listening to a bayan. He was saying one of the muhaddis, great muhaddis, he didn't mention the name. He said, he started to cry when a lady tried to seduce him. And what did he do? He was crying so much, so profusely, that she felt sorry and she left him. Then his colleague, his friend, another muhaddis came and asked him, why are you crying so much? As he was explaining the story, so a lady approached me to do guna, to do sin. And I was crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please safeguard me. And I was doing my best to stay away from the gunas. And his friends also started crying. He goes, Ya tujhe kya ho gaya? What's happened to you? Why are you crying? Nothing happened to you. He goes, Ya Sheikh, if that was me, I'm too weak. I don't know what I would have done in a situation like that. I'm crying because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguarded you.
You had the strength to stay away from the shaitan. You had the strength to stay away from the waswasa of shaitan. You had the strength to protect your privacy. You had the strength to protect yourself.
I don't think I am that strong to protect myself. So my respected brothers and elders, at the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was a youngster. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so impressed with this youngster. And he was saying, Yar, these days, the youngsters, you don't see dedicated youngsters anymore in the masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so engrossed in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day, after a few days, after a while, he couldn't see him for a few days. So he inquired, what happened to this young man? And the musalli said, don't you know, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? Don't you know what this youngster has done? He has shamed himself, shamed the family, shamed the entire community. And what happened was, there was a young lady who was in love with this young man. And every time she propositioned him to do the haram activity, he declined, he refused. Ittaqillah, with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he refused each time. So one day, she approached an elderly lady and she said, what do I do? Her friend, elderly lady. Just because someone is elderly doesn't mean they have all the experience or all the advice is always good. So we need to be mindful. So she said, look, don't you worry about it. I'll find a way for you and you can commit zina with him. Not a problem. I'll find a way for you. So as an elderly lady, she approached me and said, yeah, better son, I have goats and I have animals that needs milking. Can you help me out, please? This young man, being very pious and very obedient of deen, said, no problem. He went with her to milk the goat, and as he was about to milk the goat, he said, look, wait, I'll bring the goat, just wait in the room. The young lady came in instead of the goat. And she approached him prepositioned, she wouldn't budge on his movement. When she realized that people will now find out what's going on, she started to scream, this young man has raped me, this young man has raped me, this young man has raped me. So when people see a commotion, what happens? We like commotions. We like seeing what's going on. We are curious people. Everybody came and she accused him of rape and they all beat him up. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala, I'm thinking, Ya Allah, this is Umar radiallahu ta'ala here. When he gave Mashura, there's time that Quran ayat was revealed. Quran ayat was revealed because he was that correct. He was that. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith is that if there was to be another Nabi after me, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who would have been Nabi, or kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm paraphrasing, right?
So he said, Ya Allah, please do not let my zehen, my soch, my thinking be negative on that person. Please don't make it to be untrue.
So he approached the young man and said, what is the situation?
And he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, these two ladies schemed against me
and they wanted to seduce me and to be involved in this activity I flatly refused with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the saying of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, I will guarantee you Jannah if you can protect your tongue, if you can protect what's between the hips, i.e. the faraj. So Umar bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu approached the ladies, got his weapon and said, tell me the truth. And they admitted that, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is the situation, this young man is innocent. How many of you and how many of us, given the opportunity that we would not take advantage of it, given the opportunity that nobody will see, nobody will hear, nobody will know, it will remain a secret between me and the other person. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that you do. How many of us will be willing, how many of us will have this much taqwa to safeguard ourselves from this? My brothers, my respected elders, time is of essence. I'll finish off with this story.
You all heard about the Bani Israel, the three people when they got stuck in a cave because there was so much rain to take shelter, they took shelter into a cave, inside a cave. What happened was, a boulder came on the front of the cave and the entrance of the cave and it blocked the entrance.
Despite doing everything within their power to get out, the boulder would not move and they were not able to remove the boulder or move the boulder any at all in order to escape from the cave. So having lost hope, one person got up and said, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you know, I had elderly parents. And every time, every night before I would go to sleep or before they would go to sleep, I would always feed them the milk before they fell asleep. Before I even fed my children, my wife, the first thing I would do is feed my elderly parents and they would then drink the milk and they would fall asleep. If you knew that I did this solely for your pleasure, to please you, Ya Allah, for the fear that I have of you, then please help us out. The boulder moved slightly. Then the next person got up, he said, Ya Allah, I had a business, I had employees, and after having paid everyone's their due, there was one guy who did not take his that day's wages. So once he left, I invested the money and this money then became into a massive business venture. So when the person approached me after years later, I said, employer, please give me that day's due worth. And I showed him the entire valley. And in the valley, there was crops and herds and goats and so livestock. And I said, everything you see here in front of you belongs to you. Because you left your day's wages and I invested the back in and belongs to you. And that person, what he said, Ya Allah, that person took everything. He did not leave me anything behind. Ya Allah, if you knew that I did this solely for your pleasure, then please help us escape. The boulder moved a little bit more. Yet, it was not enough for them to escape the cave. So the third person got up.
Ya Allah, if you knew... Ya Allah, you know
that I had a cousin who I was deeply infatuated with and I wanted to commit zina and bihayai. Yet, because of your fear, I stopped myself. And the story was that I would approach her each time and she would not
bow to the pressure.
So one day she was in need of money. So she came to me, she knew I had money and she asked me for money and I promised to give her money in return for doing this sexual intercourse and zina with her, and she agreed. While I was ready to do the deed with her, she said, ittaqillah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's when the fear of yours, Ya Allah, fell upon me and I safeguarded myself. If you knew I did that solely for you, please move the boulder from the cave and let us escape. And alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, the boulder moved and they were able to escape. So respected brothers and elders, month of Sha'ban is about to turn up. Then month of Ramadan is about to come. How much fear and how much taqwa do we have? How much are we engrossed in zina? And zina does not only mean
physical activity with your ghair mahram, other than your wife.
It means looking, glancing, evil glances, lustful glances, touching someone. In certain mazahib, if you touch someone while in wudu, your wudu even breaks. Looking at things, watching TV, we become so used to activities that we don't even realize certain gunas and gunas. Inshallah, we'll continue with this topic in the following opportunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to safeguard ourselves from all types of haram activities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect what's between our hips and what's between our jaws. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.